we're going to fight that off right now with this song, because we're going to stand up. I know, you're very uncomfortable, and I tell you to stand up, but at 8 o'clock they insisted, and are you going to let 8 o'clock show you up?
Wendy's here.
Oh, Wendy's here! Wendy has promised to dance down the aisles. This is her favorite song, so we have to encourage her, so stand up. Sherry's going to be the head clapper. And this is a new one, so if you don't know the words, that's okay. You can clap, or you can just dance with Wendy. That's fine.
There's revival, and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Once you choose it, you can't lose it.
Especially by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have a special gift today of a baptism of Olivia of Faith, and we'll celebrate that in a little bit. But in the interim, we have much to do in the way of the life of the faith community and God's purpose for us. If you're a guest among us, we offer a word of special welcome to you and invite you to complete that yellow communication card in your worship folder. The other two things I want to touch on, one is that the Veterans Cafe is coming up January, whatever it is, and it's in the worship folder, I know the deadline is the 19th for that. There's no charge to it, and it's here, and it's a great program. If you know anyone that could benefit from that, or if you'd like to be part of it, please sign up by the 19th. The other thing I want to share, this will be news to some of you, although most in the faith community know it, because an Aldersgate e-alert, another reason to be part of our e-alert system, the e-alert went out Friday that Bishop Jeremiah Park, our Susquehanna Conference bishop, is appointing me as the district superintendent in Williamsport effective July 1st. So that means our season of ministry together is coming to a close. But the joy of the gospel continues. And in the midst of that news, I've fallen in love with every congregation I've served, and I have deeply fallen in love with you. And my heart weeps, and my emotions are try to be in check, because I need to make sure I shepherd this congregation to the healthiest future it can have. That's what I committed to day one, and you can be assured, until my appointment officially ends here, I will do that, hopefully for God's glory. And we gather in God's name, and we... We gather in God's name, and we lift our voices to God, our faithful Father.
I'm sorry, I just need to check something. Can you hear it now?
Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Heavenly Father, teach us to pray. You've already told us it's just a matter of just talking to you. Name our desires, believe them, and know that you will take care of it. On this morning when we learned that there could be big change, or there's going to be big change coming to our church, we remember that you have a purpose for everything in our lives, everything that we do, every person that we come in contact with, every relationship we have. And while it's always not fun and easy, there's a reason. And we just have to trust in that. So this morning, I just ask that you help my unbelief. I do believe, but then I get shaky. So help my unbelief, and that's what I want to pray today. I want to pray that for everyone today in the congregation, that collectively we'll help each other in our unbelief, as Jesus has taught us to help each other. Just thank you for the blessing that has been Troy. We want to celebrate that today. I could get upset, but I choose to remember how special he's been to all of us. I bet all of us, I know that God, this congregation, each of us could come up with something that's special, that we're blessed by his presence in our lives in the last 10 years. And I'm so grateful for that he walked my children through confirmation, that he walked me through times, that he was there for my family when my father-in-law died. And I'm naming these for myself, but I'm sure everyone here can name those too. So we thank you for those blessings, and we want to hold on to those today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Fullness of night, none can fathom. indescribable, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. There's no one like you. Incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the
worship flow is a bit changed up over these weeks, and this morning at 9:30, as we celebrate sacrament of baptism and participate in that covenant, it's changed up even a little more than what's listed in the worship folder. I'm actually going to do the introduction to today's teaching first, and then we will have a combined offering and prayer time together, and then do the follow-up teaching after that. So I didn't run that by you, Kim, but I'm going to do this first, and then we'll do the music, so I'm not doing this back-to-back. I want to thank the praise team for just the beautiful, wonderfully appropriate music this morning. And before I get into that, I want to just address in a pastoral way. I give Thanksgiving to Bishop Park, who agreed with me to do something that the annual conference and the churches haven't done, and that is to try to use our communication systems to get beyond the emotional bombshell stuff and the triage work that occurs when announcements are made Sunday morning to the bulk of the body. I'm just forever grateful that he trusted my sense as the shepherd of this congregation to begin sharing the news on Friday. It's allowed significant processing with ministry staff and with others. And if there's anything you want to say to Bishop Park, and you found that to be a healthy process for us and for yourself going forward, that's what you need to share, because other churches need to be practicing that, I'm so convinced, as opposed to these emotional bombshells on a Sunday morning. When Bishop Park showed up at my house at 9 o'clock in the evening in the midst of a cold winter night, I knew something was up, and I knew I wasn't in trouble because no one was screaming at me about stuff. So, and he was carrying a folder, and I knew there was an appointment change coming. Since those moments, the other night when I laid in bed and just cried out to God, I said, God, I'm scared. I don't want to do this. It's going to hurt too much to leave. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Troy, aren't those the same four things you felt when you were told you were coming to Aldersgate? I was afraid. I didn't want to come here, and I didn't want to go to any of the places God has sent me through a bishop's appointment. But till it was over, I was talking with Kim about this yesterday, till it was over, I was deeply, deeply, madly in love with the people God had appointed me to walk with. Nothing changes in my journey. My heart weeps. But I'm also aware that many of you are grieving, and I'm also aware that there's never an appointment change that occurs that there isn't some rejoicing, and thank God that person's moving on. That's reality. So for those that are in that place, and I say this as your shepherd, not as Troy, the person that wants everyone to like him, I say, if that's where you've been, if I've been an obstacle to you or whatever, so be it. And if there's something you need to work out with me or I need to make amends to, I'm pretty available. as you know, for 10 years. But I would throw down the gauntlet and say, you better use the gift of this new change to go to God and ask the Holy Spirit to help you overcome whatever barriers you have and engage more faithfully in the call of the church in Jesus Christ. I didn't say that at 8 o'clock. I told 8 o'clock, I said, you realize how dangerous this is going to be the next several months? Because I don't have to be worried about you getting all mad at me now. The gospel comes out. So, but enough about my processing. I just want you to know that until my appointment ends here, I will do what I pledged to do on day one, to pastor every day, to leave this place in a healthier, better, God-missional place than I found it. And you can be assured I will do whatever I can to ensure the success and significance of this faith community and of the next appointment that God already has in mind. Staff Parish Committee will meet Thursday night with the district superintendent to go over the strengths and the weaknesses in my journey, as well as the faith community, and then to see where God takes it from there. So please be holding that in prayer. Samantha and Devin and Addie came up because I was thinking after Sunday morning, I thought, I'm going to go home to an empty house. So I asked, you guys have taught me to accept help and ask for help, and I asked Sam if she would come up. She came up, and then she announced to me, hey, Dad, I want to talk to the congregation. And I didn't know what she was going to say till 8 o'clock this morning, but I'm asking for your grace in allowing my daughter, the great, great, great gift of my life, to come and share a few words with you. And then I promise we'll get on to the gospel work.
I'm hoping not to ugly cry again, but that's probably not going to happen. As Dad said, he didn't hear what I was going to say until the 8 o'clock, but now I'm still up here at the 9:30, so if you have any issues with what I say, you can find him instead of me this time. when my dad was first appointed to Aldersgate, I was going into my senior year of college at Shippensburg University, looking ahead to grad school and possibly a move to D.C. in the future. I had been with my dad and family through previous transitions in ministry to appointments before, but this was the first time I was more out of the house and not necessarily as involved in the process. But I was still here in the early days, and I do remember going around to various small group introductions in your homes, hearing welcoming words, as well as you sharing both positive and painful experiences from your past here, as well as your hopes and your love for Aldersgate and the future of the church. I remember one of my dad's first sermons, and I said earlier, yes, I do listen to some of his sermons, proclaiming his love for the Aldersgate name, saying that it was the Aldersgate experience, and John Wesley felt his heart strangely warmed. And then he also talked about, shockingly, how he described looking in all parts of the parsonage to find that nobody left their shoes behind. I don't know if you remember him saying that, but he said he had no shoes to fill. My dad has some shock value moments, as you are probably well aware, but I like to say that he's an equal opportunity offender. So often his words are painfully true and packed with needed perspective, which is something I, as an angsty teen and a young adult, didn't fully appreciate. But the point of him saying that was that the church isn't about the pastor or one person. It's about the church collective. In Aldersgate, you have shown the love and the power in the church body to me, even from afar. I haven't learned all of your names or even most of them, but I've always felt the love and warmth when I come here on Sundays. Sorry. And through the stories my dad tells me of faithful servants here, in small groups, in What's Up Wednesday, in confirmation classes, of Vacation Bible School, the Super Bowl praise team, and so on. I love taking the two groups that came down to the Holocaust Museum through the museum and sharing my passion and love for human conviction and seeing young adults learning about the Holocaust and ways to share their Christian love. I cannot begin to express my thanks for the cards and the meals and the gifts that you sent to me after I had my daughter, Addie. It was something that Devin was like, people are sending us meals to eat? Wow. Like, it was just, especially at a time whenever we hadn't found our church faith community down there, and honestly, we hadn't been looking. It was just a welcome experience. And I thank you for your words of encouragement and outreach from fellow police officers and their spouses when Devin graduated from the police academy, and also for all of your check-ins in the midst of family crisis throughout these years. It's almost 10 years later, I'm 30 years old now, and I have a little more awareness and gratefulness than whenever Dad first started here. These past 10 years have been great growth and transition for me personally, as well as many trying times for our family, and for my dad even more so, much more so. So what I'm most importantly, what I want to say today is I wanted to thank you for what you've been to my dad. I've always been a daddy's girl. We're equally fiercely protective of one another. And during the aftermath of my mom's surgery, I was so worried about my dad and his health, and it's hard being from afar. But he had you, and by extension, I had you, and I'm most thankful for that. So while I still worried, I knew that he had you as a family, taking care of him, praying for him, cooking for him, making sure he ate, allowing space for him to process. And in many ways, because of you, Aldersgate, during those trying times, we had these greatest feelings of hopelessness, but then hope. Overwhelming feelings, but then there were prayers, there was peace, there was space and understanding. And I remember countless times in my visits up here after church, many of you coming up to me and just telling me how much you love my dad. I loved and appreciated that more than you knew. So I tried writing down my thoughts here, and I'm hoping they're coming out clearly, and I'm sorry for snotting all. I tend to be pretty reserved when I come here, and I save the talking for at home. And Devin's not here, but he can attest to the fact that all I do is just, you know, talk his ear off. But what I'm trying to say is sincerely thank you, Aldersgate, for your love and warmth to me and to my family, and for taking care of my dad and loving him and appreciating him and his gifts and his gooberness the way that I do. I don't know if you've picked up on the fact we've called each other goober since I was about 11 years old. And to end, I remember a member of Chestnut Grove once telling my dad that she wished he would talk about Chestnut Grove the way he talked about the past congregation of Trinity. It was early on in his ministry at Chestnut Grove, and he was still very much grieving the past congregation and talking so lovingly about them. Aldersgate, my dad, will grieve this move deeply and permanently, and it's already started. But as he said, there's still much time left together. There's a lot of work to be done. And when it comes time for that transition, you will continue to be the loving, amazing church body that you've been to me and to the next pastor. And Dad will continue to speak with immense love and gratitude, as will I. And yes, he will be taking his shoes with him. Thank you. Are you tired of hearing that?
That's a powerful witness to you. It's a testimony also that I take very humbly with gratitude to me, and I say this with some humility, I hope, that I'm so grateful that I've been able to teach my daughter to practice an attitude of gratitude. Amen. And she wanted to thank you. I'll have plenty of time to do that in the time to come, but right now, we have work to do because we're in the midst of the 40 days of prayer. 350 lives are being touched by this in this congregation right now in small group and teaching context connections. And I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord God, Holy Spirit, find us where we are and move us to where we need to be. I pray move us because we our want in our own energy and commitment and conviction to move where you want us to be. So move us, Holy Spirit, that we might then flow into the world and shine for Jesus. Amen. Week two, this is a brief introductory point. Then we're going to offering and prayer time, and then we'll come back to the teaching component and then the baptism. Who do you think you're talking to? Have you ever used that phrase? Just who do you think you're talking to? Well, when you and I are talking to God and praying to God, Your understanding of what God is, my understanding of who God is, shapes everything in our prayer life. A.W. Tozer said, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Think about that. It determines how we view things, how we interact with God, and how we interact with one another. When you and I talk and think of God, what images come to your mind? What nouns do you use? What adjectives do you use to describe God? Some people think, act like, you know, they believe God's a grumpy old man. Some act like they believe God is distant and detached. The important thing is for you to answer, what do you think of when God comes to mind? Because I guarantee you, it has everything to do with how your prayer life is working, growing or not. I have an image here of one that I had from little up, that God the Father is this old man, you know, the big beard and whatever, and responding like, oh, Troy, you got an attitude again. But God of Scripture is far larger than can be defined or evidenced in an old man image. For some, God is the vengeful, angry God who's teaching us all kinds of lessons. Is that the God you're praying to? Truly, if you look at Scripture, you hear all kinds of things about God, attributes of God. God is holy. God is just. God is all-powerful. He's the Creator, the Father. He's merciful. He's compassionate. You get a wide range. But what we're going to focus on today and throughout these 40 days of prayer to see if God can grow our prayer life is God's core value. Take everything else about God you know and go to the core value. The core value of God is good. God is good. That's the core of who God has been from the beginning. That's why we're created. And it's the core of the gospel story, Genesis through Revelation. It can be confusing and sidetracking and narrowing of our view when we focus on other aspects of God. But the core goodness of God is who He is. And that impacts who we are. So now hear this, church, as we begin this second week of 40 days of prayer. As Christians, note that it is not wrong for us to view God through the lens of Jesus. In other words, the Jesus lens shows us all that we need to know about God. Mysterious and vast as God is, the Jesus lens is our lens. I want to put that image up of the lens. Now I know only in part, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13. It's the mystery of God. Is the bishop sat there on the sofa at 9 o'clock and left at 10 o'clock and he's talking with me. And he's talking. In those moments, I'm thinking, you know, beam me up, Scotty. Get me out of here. And then I'm thinking, how can I say no to my bishop? Not because the bishop's a powerful man, because he's not. Human beings only have the power we convey to them. But because the bishop represents God, and it was bishops who sent me every place I didn't want to go, and then I didn't want to leave. While we're at it, the gift of the Holy Spirit provides that lens too. That's who was speaking to me that night in the living room, the Holy Spirit. Would you read John 14 with me? Jesus' words, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. I came up with this image. I looked in the internet. This is an image that to me represents the power of the Spirit. Just like a magnifying glass, you look at it and think, what can that thing do? The Spirit bends and shapes and forms all that we are and where we're going and what we're called to be into the heart of the Father poured out into the Son. And then we walk into a truth that we better examine our relationship with the good, good Father. Our proximity in any relationship determines how we talk to someone, doesn't it? You talk to your boss at work differently than you talk to a coworker. You talk to a spouse differently than you talk to just a neighbor acquaintance. Your relationship with the Father will determine how you pray, if you pray. So what we're going to do is look closely at who we're talking to. The core of who God is His goodness. We're talking to a good, good Father. Do you know that? It's who you are, God. It's who you are, and that makes me what I am. I am loved by you, the maker of the universe. And you desire a deeper prayer life with me. We'll get into those teaching points in a few moments. But first, we're going to offer to God God's tithes and our offerings for the ministries of Christ here and beyond. And also, we have two prayer blankets for two Mikes, two individuals named Mike going through health issues. One is Mike Galbraith that we prayed over this morning at 8 o'clock. And then we have Olivia's baptism blanket. You're welcome to bring prayer cards up during the time as the offering plates move by. And then we will move to our teaching component for this morning.
You are the one that we pray. always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the presence you give us in the Holy Spirit and that you do not leave us orphaned or abandoned. And we thank you for the Son, Jesus, the risen one, who intercedes and advocates for us right now. And we thank you for your work through your church, not my church, not our church, birthed in Jesus by the power of the Spirit. And for all those throughout the ages that have responded to your call and your commission, whether they were pastors or whether they were lay members in congregations, you have a way of taking our everyday, ordinary lives and using them to be a powerful offering to the world and to our fellow man and woman, boy and girl made in your holy image. As we gather this day, we are mindful of much of the distress in our nation and around the world, and we lift those things in prayer to you, Lord. Hear our prayers and grant us peace and trust. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, 250 adults here are involved in the 40 days of prayer and using the prayer journal. The children and the youth ministries are involved in the 40 days of prayer and well, using different resourcing. If you missed out, contact the office and you see if you could be plugged in somewhere along the way as we continue. But those that are using the prayer journal, I suspect, are already finding God speaking to them through the daily scriptures. Day two of the scripture, when I needed to announce to the staff this change, the scripture is, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you, Jesus said. You didn't choose me, Jesus said. I chose you. Amen. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. As I read that, it was like, God, I hate when I discover you know what you're doing when you're up to something. Even when I'm not on board, and I'll ask Andra Haverstock works in the conference office, I'll ask her to please not tell the bishop that I'm not on board with this move yet. But I know God is faithful and will grow us into it. Part two, let's look who or what our good Father is and how that should impact our prayers. First, through the lens of Jesus, God reveals himself as a God who always desires good for my life. God desires good for your life. I know what I planned, he says through the prophet Jeremiah. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. My plans will give you hope and a good future. And when you call to me and pray, I will listen to you. Psalm 31. Would you join me with this one? God, your goodness is so great. You have stored up great blessings for those who honor you. You do so much for those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. We know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, Paul says in Romans 8. This is a key verse that sometimes I get the sense is misused. We sometimes use this verse and say, well, God makes everything happen just to teach us something. We believe that God gave us free will and that much, if not most, of what's happening in the world isn't by God's puppet strings. It's by the human condition. This is saying, no matter what's going on in the human condition and in the world, I will teach you something and grow you through it. Yes. lady said to me years ago, I don't know why God took my son in a car accident. Tell me about your son. Well, he was going through some stuff. He got in there with the wrong crowd. He was drinking. He was heavily drunk and flew around a country curve 90 mile an hour and hit a telephone pole. So God did that to your son. God puppet string your son to that decision. Push the pedal to the metal. Set it up perfectly for the pole. Is that a good father? Of course not. The human condition is at work there. Some of you ask me over these years of struggle and the change and turmoil in our lives, why is God doing this to you? God wasn't doing anything to me other than loving on me and trying to grow me through it. He wasn't causing some physicians to be less than faithful in their practice of medicine. That was their choice and their hubris. But God was at work for good in it, in spite of it. So we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. Not like, hey, thank you, God, that my marriage is disintegrating. No. No, that's crazy. But Lord God, I can still find some joy that I know you are with me. Because you're my good Father. What about the pain and the brokenness of life? We live in a broken world. God is not out to get us or to get even. God is not mad at you in a way that he needs to bring a penalty. God is mad about you. He's a good Father. That's who you're praying to. God takes the bitter, he puts it in the batter of life, and he makes it better. That's a Rick Warren there. Some of the other things, I'm going to try to get the PowerPoints up on the website, in case any of you want to look at those. These PowerPoints are built on Warren's, but they have particular uniqueness to us and obviously to the pastor preaching. So they aren't exactly like Warren's. They have different additions and images that I put in. But that's a resource you can check out. So when you're praying to God, who you think you're praying to? Well, God reveals in Jesus that he always gives you and I what we need, not what we deserve. He has not treated us as we deserve for our sins or paid us back for our wrongs. He's taken our sins away and removed them. As far as the east is from the west, so far the Lord's removed our sin from us. If I fly north from Philadelphia today, am I ever going to meet south? When I fly over the Arctic, guess where I'm headed? Anyone? South. If I fly east out of Philadelphia to Europe, when am I going to meet west? Anyone? Never. This good father knows what he's talking about. He's saying your sin is so far from you, it's not even going to meet up in my eyes. He gives me what I need, not what I deserve. The third thing, and we see through the lens of Jesus, God always puts my good above his own. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. They know me. I will sacrifice my life for my sheep. He puts our good ahead of his. His own son died for our sins and rose again to make us right with God, filling us with God's goodness, his core attribute, love. Every week that I preached here, and I've probably done 450 messages here. That's a lot of listening to one person. Every week, I try to proclaim God loves you. Can you believe there are some Christians that get tired of that message? Because who they think God is doesn't match up. They're looking for the vengeful God, the angry God, the God of Old Testament before the lens of Jesus came. And in that lens, we see the good Father who we then can look and know that God is mad at me, God is angry at times, God is jealous, but it all goes through the core lens of Jesus. When 9/11 happened, Reverend Jerry Falwell proclaimed that it was God's wrath upon America because of tolerating homosexuality. I'm sure Jerry Falwell did many good things in his ministry, but that wasn't the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not what a good father does. That might be an Old Testament understanding, but the lens of Jesus makes us who we say we are, Christian. We're called to take that lens in the world and let people know what a good father does and how he wants to grow us and change us. But we can't do that unless we know who we're talking to. God revealing self in Jesus through the lens of Jesus will not say yes to every request. Lord God, please get the bishop out of my living room. Isaiah 55. If you think you got things figured out, hear the good news. My thoughts are completely different from your thoughts, God said through the prophet. My ways are far beyond yours, nothing you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, my thoughts higher than yours. A good father. It's who he is, and I'm loved by him. Do you know that? So are you. That's who I am. God revealing self in Jesus wants us to live with him forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father loves us, has given us by his grace an example of everlasting encouragement and good hope that will last forever. May this encourage your heart and give you strength for every good thing you do. And from the 23rd Psalm, surely goodness and mercy, love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's goodness, the Hebrew rabbi taught me once that the Hebrew essence of what we translate as mercy, he said, you guys mess up that translation. It means, and surely his goodness and mercy will pursue. He will pursue. A good father pursues us. He's hunting for us. So, Lord, keep me from paying attention to what is worthless and let me live by your word. I want to obey your principles. Please renew my life with your goodness. So, who do you think you're praying to? A grumpy God, an angry God, a vengeful God? A God that's trying to teach us lessons by destroying and killing. No, that's the human condition at work, apart from God. So always remember, this is the God who you're talking to. I found this image, and I wanted to share it. The one who came to walk among us, to save us, and to raise us for new life. He came into human footprints to walk, that the Holy Spirit might come and place the imprint of God the Father on each of our hearts and souls. That's who we're talking to, church. He's a good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are, and we're loved by you. Let that relationship be the touchstone to determine your prayer life. Amen. We are privileged to have Sacrament of Baptism moments with Olivia Faith. I'm going to ask her to bring her parents and her big brother, Wyatt. And Wyatt, come on up, buddy. And Adeline, big sister Adeline up, along with mommy and daddy, Kayla and Josh. I remember Kayla and Josh coming, just stand here and face the body. Coming to What's Up Wednesday. Back when What's Up Wednesday only had maybe about 45, 50 people in it. Now we have, well, we can't count them now, it seems. But they were there when they first graduated from Messiah College and began their life together. Then they had these two beautiful twins, Wyatt, Adeline, and now they have the gift of Olivia. So, church, I invite you to join with me and turn to page 39 in your hymnal. 39. Kayla and Josh, and brothers and sisters, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and given new birth through water and spirit. All this is God's gift because he is good, offered without price. And I present Olivia Faith, child of God, for the sacrament of baptism. I ask you, Mom and Dad, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers at work in this world, and repent of your own sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they show themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve Jesus as your Lord in union with his church, which is open to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Will you nurture this child and continue the nurturing of Wyatt and Adeline in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to one day accept God's gift of grace for themselves and lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. Church, do you as Christ's body take this holy moment to reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Jesus Christ? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? That means by your presence, your gifts, your sacrificial commitment in ministry. If so, will you respond as the body has offered? With God's help. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. Why? Gonna help me? Wyatt, Adeline, you wanna help with the water? Remember we talked about that? Wyatt, you wanna help me, buddy? Yeah. You do want to help? I'll get you to help in a moment here. This is the water we're going to use to baptize your little sister. You grab a hold of that with both hands, and let's pour some in. Good job. All right. You want to touch it? Is it wet?
Yeah.
Is it cold?
Yeah.
Adeline, you going to help me out? You're a beautiful girl. Two hands, I got you. You don't worry about falling. Use your other hand, too. There you go. All right. Good job. Thank you. In what name? Well, let me offer prayer over this. I'm sorry, I almost jumped it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you nurture us in the water of a womb. You cleanse us through the gift of water. You grow us through water into our lives, and all your creation depends on water to exist. You nurtured Jesus in that his mother's womb and birthed him forth that we might know you as our heavenly Father, our only perfect parent, and that we might find salvation in you and bring your kingdom to come here. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and she who is marked in it, that in being marked in the promises of Jesus, that this family would be enveloped in your Holy Spirit, and that this church would be found faithful in providing ministries and opportunities and disciplined participation, that Olivia will grow to know the name of Jesus. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What name do you give this child?
Olivia Faith.
Olivia Faith. Olivia Faith. You didn't know what was happening when God determined it was time to be born from your mom's womb. and you don't fully understand this, just like none of us do, I baptize you in the name of God the Father and of God the Son. And God the Holy Spirit, God three in one. Place your hands on her. Adeline, you want to touch your sister? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for Olivia and pray that your spirit would work through her, that having been born by water and touched in the spirit, she might grow to be a faithful follower of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Why, Adeline, you want to walk along with me while we show people your sister? Come on. This is Olivia Faith. And this is Wyatt and Adeline. They need a church to show them Jesus. To show them that there's a different way. I was visiting with my grandmother the other night. She's going to be 98 on February 4th. I went to tell her about my move to Williamsport, and we got to talking about the state of things and the tenor of things in our society, our culture. You can keep following me. Yeah, we're going to go over here. And she said, Troy, I'm not siding with politics. This isn't politics. She said, I wonder how so many Christians hear and see the words and behaviors of people in important positions. I'm not talking just about the president, but he's in it. And I wonder how they can think that God's part of that when the fruit of the Spirit, Scripture says, if you're in Christ, you'll give evidence of fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. She's a wise lady. Yeah. The world's going to teach Olivia all other kinds of ways. It'll teach her the way to self-consumption and self-worship. It'll teach her the way of consumerism and idolatry. It'll teach her the way of consuming what information she wants. But there's only one people that teach the way of Jesus. And it begins and ends with us. Amen. Church. This is Olivia Faith. She represents all God's children who need to know they have a good, good father.
Jesus.
sacred moment. That's what a sacrament is. We believe that in Holy Communion and baptism, the two sacraments of the church, that God is present in ways to grow us and rebirth us. I'm privileged to have baptized Olivia. Church, receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you as though you were the only one that needed Jesus, because that's what a good, good father would have done. And may he grant you peace. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go with the cross before you. Amen. Won't you rise as able to sing?
Thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father.
It's who you are.
It's who I am. It's who I am.